InvestTalk will begin in just a moment. One of the most important reasons to become an InvestTalk insider is to have access to a whole library of info sheets and lists, like dividend-paying ETFs, for example. You can join for free, and there's never any charge for any of the informational content. You can sign up now on InvestTalk.com.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our Wednesday, January 13th, 2016 edition of Invest Talk, and we are here to try to give you some sort of advantage in the marketplace as you navigate these very volatile financial markets that we see today, and try to help you avoid the mistakes that the average investor makes. Whatever questions you may have are always welcome, beginner or experienced, it does not matter. Now, we were looking for a third day of gains, but we didn't get it today. Afternoon selling pushed the Dow down 365 points, and that shaved 3.4% off of the NASDAQ. And Dashed hopes for a third straight day of gains on Wall Street today. And I'll have a market summary coming up for you in a few minutes. Now, when people talk about investing, they often refer to the general term, the market. Well, in reality, the market consists of many indexes, sectors, all different types of segments. It breaks the market up into a lot of different areas. Tech was really bad today, but utilities actually did okay. So there's always segmentations in the market, and understanding how these indexes are created and how they differ will help you gain further understanding of the daily market movements. Okay, and I talk about this from time to time when I look at the major indexes, that what is the Dow doing versus the NASDAQ or small caps, the Russell. If the Dow is outperforming, that's not good. If the Russell and the NASDAQ are outperforming, well, that's a positive, because that's where really the risk is taken in the marketplace. And the Dow is one of the oldest, most well-known, and frequently used index in the world, but it only includes 30 stocks, 30 large stocks, but it's only 30 stocks. Where the NASDAQ is hundreds, S&P is 500, Russell is 2,000. So, the Dow is price weighted, which kind of doesn't make a lot of sense. Okay, so don't put too much weight in the Dow. Try to steer yourself away from it. Now, a change in the Dow represents changes in investors' expectations of earnings and the risks of large companies, included in that average, those 30 companies. Now, because the general attitude towards large cap stocks often differs from the attitude towards small cap stocks, international stocks, or even technology stocks, the Dow isn't really a good representation of risk sentiment in the marketplace. The S&P 500 is also large stocks. It's far more diverse. It represents about 70% of the total value of the U.S. stock market. And the S&P is a much better general indicator of what is going on in the U.S. marketplace as a whole. Now, most investors know the NASDAQ is the exchange in which technology stocks are traded. And the NASDAQ Composite Index is market capitalization weighted index. And that means that the largest companies have the biggest weighting. So Apple, for example, has the biggest weighting on the NASDAQ. Now, the NASDAQ isn't all tech companies. They have their financial companies, industrial companies, insurance companies, transportation companies, among many, many others. It's just weighted towards technology more than others. So that is the most important index when it comes to speculative stocks. And NASDAQ really got trounced today. Now, you can use these indexes as benchmarks to check on how well your portfolio has performed. And the index that most closely replicates your portfolio is the one you should use. Are you invested in a bunch of large cap names, blue chip names? It's probably the S&P. If you're in more techie speculative names, that's probably the NASDAQ. If you're more in small cap names that the average person hasn't, that wouldn't really recognize, but you do, you've done the research and you're looking for big gains out of those small companies to turn into mid-cap and large-cap companies, well, then you use the Russell 2000. So understand the various indexes is very important. It's very important to get conceptualize them and understand what they mean in context to the other indexes and your own portfolio. Now it's time now to get the conversation going. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. Now, if you feel that you're part of, I hope you feel that you're a part of the discussion this hour. So I want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART is my anytime number to get through and ask your question. So give me a call now. Let's go to Mac in Los Cabos. How are you doing, Mac?
Very well. How are you?
Doing well. What can I do for you?
Well, I was looking at, I own Union Pacific. I bought it just a little while ago, and it looks like it kind of dipped below the spot that below what I thought it would go, and I'm thinking about selling it, and I want to get your opinion.
Well, first I want to ask, what was your reason for buying it?
Well, I like the dividend. I thought it was just about at a bottom. And now it's kind of dipped below the bottom that I thought it was the bottom.
Okay. So you didn't pick the bottom right. You know, that's not, you're not the first one ever. Well, I would say this. You are at a lot of support, or you're at or near some support. About $70 is some big support right now. It's $73.85. I do think you'll get a bounce. What did you buy it at?
75.43.
I think you'll get a bounce, and I think you'll have time to get out of it at a profit. I would put my out at about $70.45. If it drops below that, that would be my out. So you wouldn't lose too much. You know, that's less than 10%. But I do think that you're in a short-term support level, into some short-term support between here and that $70.50 level. And on the bounce, I would sell. I do think that there are major problems in the economy. This is a transportation name that's in a downtrend. It looks like it's going to continue to be in a downtrend for the medium to longer term. And so I would look for a place to get out on a bounce, but I do think you will get it.
Thank you very much for your help, and enjoy the program every day.
All right. Thanks, Mac. Thanks. Glad I could help you. And anyone else, any questions, give me a call. I want to hear from you. Now, think big. Let's think REITs, Real Estate Investment Trusts. That's our main talking point today that I want to touch on. What are they? What does it mean for you? How much of your portfolio should be in REITs? And is this a good time to be in REITs? I think it's a great question. Then can we see a bubble if we're inside the bubble? And this is going to touch on Silicon Valley area, San Francisco, Bay Area right now. I hate to break it to everybody and all of our listeners up there. It's a bubble. You're in the midst of a bubble, and it's starting to crack. How long it will take to fully crack will yet to be known. But I think it'll be interesting to touch on that and talk about what we're seeing up there and how that parallels to other bubbles that we have seen in the recent past. I also want to touch on some comments from Jeffrey Gundlach. He's one of my favorite market analysts. He is the president and CEO, or the CEO and founder of Double Line Capital, and he is one of the most well-respected names on Wall Street. And I want to talk about what he has to say about the market this year, and especially in the first quarter of this year. And then something I wanted to get to on Monday, but I didn't, is the auto loan bubble ready to pop? It's also a bubble that looks kind of shaky. And then if we give time, high-yield corporate bond funds and what you should look for if you are in any or looking to invest in them. Now let's take a quick look at the market today. We had a very large downdraft in the major indexes. The Dow was down 365 points. The S&P was down 48 points. And the NASDAQ was down 160 points, 3.4%. That's one of the worst days I've seen the NASDAQ in a long, long time. And this is telling me there is trouble ahead. Medium term, trouble. Short term, I think we're near some support. But when the NASDAQ sells off that hard on the volume that it did, that is a giant warning sign, and you need to take heed. Now, this is InvestTalk. Should you rush to pay off your mortgage or stuff your money in your 401k? Let's talk about it. Any money topics are open for conversation. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART.
Hi, I'm calling in as a podcast listener and had a question regarding financial stock U.S. Bancorp. The symbol is USB. Wanted to see what you think of the stock and what the outlook is for the year and what you think would be a good entry point. I will be listening for your answer. Thank you.
Don't buy it. It's that simple. Everyone's been talking about the Fed's going to raise rates and that's going to help banks. Well, guess what? It's not. Banks are hurting. They're going to have increased credit losses. And this is a regional bank, one of the biggest regional banks out there. It is in trouble and the whole sector is in trouble. So be very weary of U.S. Bancorp and really any bank out there, almost any bank out there. This is clearly rolled over and it has much, much more downside to go. It was at $46 middle of last year. Now it's at $39. I think this is easily headed into the low 30s and maybe even into the high 20 level. So I wouldn't pick it up until we get to around the $30 level on U.S. Bancorp, and now it's at $39.01 at the close today. So don't buy U.S. Bancorp. Don't buy banks. Not a good time to be in banks, okay? So be very weary of that whole sector. Now let's get to our main talking point today, and that is about real estate investment trusts, and REITs are basically, they're basically funds. There are private REITs and there are public REITs. Don't buy private REITs. There's a lot of fraud in that sector. They tend to be very illiquid. I've seen a lot of problems that come that arise out of private REITs. They get pitched all the time. Don't let your advisor talk you into it. Just don't do it. There are 167 public REITs out there in the marketplace. You have a very wide swath of options of great run real estate investment trusts that are publicly traded and very liquid. Okay, so you can pick from one of those. And the average REIT yields somewhere in the mid to high 3% range right now, compared to 2.2 or so on the 10-year treasury. And the big question is, what type of risk are you taking with REITs? You are taking some substantial risk. If real estate prices drop because we go into a recession, interest rates rise, that can be a headwind to real estate prices. So never put more than about 10 to 15% of your portfolio in real estate investment trusts. And there are some advantages of owning individual properties as well. But REITs are a great starting point for your real estate investment needs. Now, this is InvestTalk. Should you rush to pay off your mortgage or stuff your 401k? Let's talk about it. 888. Let's go and talk to George in San Jose. How are you doing, George?
Good afternoon, Justin. Happy New Year to you. Great program, as always.
I appreciate it, George. What can I do for you?
I ask my question, then listen from radio. Seagate Technology.
Okay.
Looking at all the companies, the history, and their 7.74% dividend, and the price at the very low 30. Do you think this is a good level to get in? I listen from radio.
Okay, sounds good. He's looking at Seagate Technologies. The symbol is STX, and they manufacture hard disk drives for the enterprise, desktop, mobile commuting, and consumer electronics market. They make hard drives. So their numbers are actually, their cash flow is good, but their revenues are falling, which is an issue. But I like their cash flow generation. It hasn't fallen as much. Their dividend seems to be fairly strong. My issue with this company is that it's notoriously, or its earnings are notoriously very volatile. In 2009, when we had the recession, it lost $5.13 a share. Then it made $3.34 a share the next year in 2010, and then back down to $1.24, and then back up. So now, in 2015, it made $4.57, and it's only going to make $2.98 this year in 2016. Expect a rebound next year. I would expect a lot of volatility. I think long-term, this actually is a fairly decent place for it. But there's a lot of potential downside in the short to medium term. There's some big support at $48.50. But I think ultimately this is going to get down to about $20 a share. That is where I would love to pick it up, around $20 a share. That gives me a lot more cushion. You know, this is down from $70 a share earlier, or late 2014. So it's had a substantial drop, and you're obviously getting a much better bargain than you were back then. It does carry a little bit of debt, a little heavy on the debt side, which worries me a little bit. So I would be careful. I think there's more downside for the market. I think it's going to drag this stock down. But I would look to pick it up at $20 a share, not here, which is at $31.07. Let's go to Bonar in Massachusetts, right?
Yep, Western Mass.
Western Mass. How's it going?
It's going well. I started listening to your show on iTunes, and I think you guys got a lot of great information. And I'm in the renewable energy industry, and I work for a solar company here in Massachusetts, and I just wanted to call in and get your advice on where you think renewable energy stocks are headed right now. The ITC just is going to get extended for 5 additional years, so that's really giving our industry a lot of life. And I know that there's been a lot of speculation as kind of the energy behind energy stocks. And I think overall, most of the big companies, including the one I work for, have gotten hit pretty hard within the last, I'd say, 6 months or so. But some of them seem to be making a recovery. And I just wanted to kind of see where your head was on investing in renewable energy stocks, preferably in solar.
Well, I think there's definitely a future for the solar industry. Right now, they're on the ropes, mainly because look what energy prices are doing. You know, with oil so low,
right,
and the cost of energy being so low, it makes it difficult to compete. Now, over time, I do think that governments around the world are going to push towards more renewable sources of energy, and they'll continue to do that. But it's going to be the lack of economic viability when interest rates are energy prices are so low is going to be a clear headwind in the short to medium term. And so right now, I do think there are a lot of opportunities. I know that they just extended the solar credits in the
right,
spending
yep.
bill, right? So, how long that was for?
Years, yep. Yeah, it's going to be for 5 years.
Five years, yeah. So that's a clear win for the solar energy industry. But I think there's going to be very few winners in the long run. I think my favorite probably in the industry is First Solar. Because of their patents. Yeah, I think that would be my number one company in the industry to invest in. There's obviously going to be some other winners out there, but there's also going to be a lot of bankruptcies as well, especially if you go into a recession. Credit gets a little bit tighter, and these companies that do have a lot of debt on their balance sheet, start to fold under the pressure of just uneconomical products with energy prices so low. So I think this is a good time to start looking, but you have to be really, really careful with who you put your money behind.
Okay, what are your thoughts on NRG, stock symbol N is in Nancy, R is in Roger, G is in good. I don't know if you've been paying attention to their stock. They're one of the more notable ones, I believe, in the U.S.
Let me do this. I have to go to break here. I have a hard break in about 30 seconds, so I'm going to go to break, and when I get back from break, I'll touch on NRG and my thoughts. Now, you're listening to Invest Talk. Coming up in the next half hour, the top five financial do's and don'ts. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number, 888-992-4278. You can call it right now.
Coming up on the next Invest Talk, the learning never stops as long as you're paying attention. And some of these lessons can apply to other areas of life outside the financial markets. Five investing lessons learned in 2015. That's one of our talking points on the next Invest Talk. But of course, your questions come first, and you can reach Invest Talk anytime. 888-99-CHART is our number, and we'll answer your question on the next podcast. Invest Talk is made possible each day by KPP Financial. This is Invest Talk for Wednesday, January 13th. And remember, Steve meets with a limited number of Invest Talk listeners on a regular basis. He meets on Skype or by phone, too, to any location in the U.S. To schedule your time, click on Schedule a Meeting on investtalk.com.
Now we're going to get back to NRG. We've been talking with Bonar in Massachusetts, and he's looking at NRG. And NRG is a utility company, right, Bonar? Oh, he's gone. Okay. Well, hopefully he's still listening. Well, NRG is a utility company, and it's been on the ropes. It's on the ropes. It's fallen from a high of high 30s, $37, $38 a share. Now it's at $9.82, and that's just in about a year and a half time. The biggest worry with NRG is that its earnings all over the place, and they have a ton of debt. This is what you need to focus on, people. Companies that carry a lot of debt, they're going to be in trouble. If the credit markets continue to roll over, they're going to have trouble refinancing and financing their business. So be wary of these companies, especially that are in the energy space, that have a ton of debt on their balance sheet, because if energy prices stay this low for an extended period of time, any of those companies that have stretched balance sheets are going to go bankrupt eventually. Okay, so this is the biggest worry with NRG. Is it cheap? Kinda. Yeah, I'll say yeah. It's cheap, but it's also cheap for a reason, because of that large debt load and the fact that its earnings are all over the place. They jump around. So and they're not that profitable right now to begin with. So anything can dip them into negative territory for a couple of years, and you know, can they sustain their business with that amount of debt? That's what you need to worry about. So when you're looking at companies in this market, the first thing you should think of is the balance sheet. How much debt does it have? Is that debt sustainable? Is their business cyclical? Those are extremely important, okay? So let's get to my next talking point, which is Jeffrey Gundlach, and he's came out with a presentation, and he thinks we're going to have a really ugly 2016. He thinks the first quarter is going to be really ugly. It already has been. I mean, the NASDAQ's down 11% already this year, and he says it's more likely to happen if the Fed keeps banging the drum about raising rates against falling inflation. That's what we're having. You have commodity prices down. The devaluing of the yuan by China is increasing the value of the dollar, which pushes prices for commodities down even further. And so you're having a double whammy of the Fed threatening to raise rates and the China trying to weaken its currency. they're the new game. They're the new player in town when it comes to the global currency wars. Well, guess what? We will lose the war if we continue to beat this drum. And that's kind of what he's saying, is that the Fed needs to stop with this talk about continuing to raise interest rates. And frankly, I think they will. I think there's a very good chance that they don't raise rates at all in 2016. And I think they eventually reverse their rate rise in December. And falling commodity prices are signs that the weak Chinese economy is destabilizing the globe, the global economy. And even Steve, I think, talked about it yesterday. Global trade in 2015 was down 4%. That is not a good outlook, and that's not an outlook that the Fed can safely raise rates into. Now, I can easily argue they need to raise rates because they can't just sit here at zero forever, and that's really what they feel like, I think. But the high-yield bond market is on its heels. Stocks are likely to follow. They're already starting to. These low oil prices are probably going to lead to further geopolitical instability as well. And you're seeing that with Saudi Arabia and Iran and Russia and all of the problems that are going on in the Middle East and Europe. And what the Fed has done is pulled returns forward. The returns that you saw in 2013, 2014, really throughout the recovery since 2009, has all been driven by Fed easy money policy and pulling those returns forward. And now we're starting to catch up. You can't keep up with those returns over the long term. And 2015 was a very hard time to make money last year. He notes that 2015 was the worst year since 1937 for the best asset an investor could have owned. The S&P 500 was barely up last year. Okay? And this year will likely be down for the year. Whether it's going to be more than it is now or less is going to be hard to say. But he sees junk bonds continue to be under pressure. Completely agree with that. And the S&P, the Standard & Poor's, research is showing that the level of potential downgrades has topped the potential upgrades for credits by the widest margin since 2009, the last recession. And profit margins are starting to become compressed because hourly earnings for workers are now rising because they need to keep up with rising rents, for instance. And he sees a lot of defaults happening in the commodity space unless we have a monster rally. And I think we'll have a counter trend rally in commodities that could last multi-years, maybe a year or two. But I don't think it's going to last long, long term. And he actually likes gold. He's a fan of gold, and I agree. Now, our first priority is answering your questions. Let's pick up a call that came before today's program on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.
Good afternoon. My name is Derek, and I'm a podcast listener from Toledo, Ohio. I had a question about the stock Michael Kors, K-O-R-S. I currently own the stock. I just bought it a little while ago, and I was looking for an alternative growth issue, something that I could add to my portfolio instead of some of these high multiple tech names. I understand Apple, that doesn't qualify for that, but I was just wondering how you would feel about that sector, the luxury brand or branded apparel sector. For example, Michael Kors, or another one would be Ralph Lauren. Thank you for your input. Love your show. Bye.
Now, both of those names are names that we have looked at KPP to invest in because they are relatively cheap, but technically they continue to be weak and they're not showing signs of bottoming. And we're seeing rollover in the retail space. It is getting weaker and it probably is going to continue to get weaker. And we really don't see a lot of upside in the short to medium term for those areas, even though the likes of Ralph Lauren and Michael Kors are on the cheaper side. Michael Kors has no debt. which we love. Ralph Lauren, also very, very tiny amount of debt on its balance sheet, pays a little bit of dividend. The problem is the whole sector is just weak, and we think that it'll continue for the short to medium term. So I would not be owning Michael Kors. I like that it's on your watch list, but I think technically it's telling me it's going to go much, much lower. And I would not be buying Michael Kors until probably, let me look at this real quick. Oh, I'm going to say below $20 a share. That's when I would think about picking up Michael Kors. Until then, I would lay off. Let's go to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. Thanks for making it.
I was hoping you'd give me your opinion on Meet Me is the name of the company.
Okay. What do you know about Meet Me?
Well, it's just a social website where people meet each other, but there's a lot of ads that you see on there, the pages, and that's how they generate the revenue.
Okay. So it's a social media platform. I've never heard of it, surprisingly.
Yeah.
This sounds just like an echo bubble from what's going on in the tech industry and the social media frenzy. It's gotten a strong bid. It's gone from about $1.30 or so in June of last year up to $4.50 at the beginning of this year, and it's reversed sharply to $2.95. So I think you'll probably see some support around the 250 level, but I wouldn't buy this long term. I wouldn't buy this long. They don't have any debt, which is good. They do have, let me look if they have positive cash flow or not. Look this up real quick. My gut just says no. I mean, this is just $3 million in positive free cash flow. I don't think this stock is worth anything more than, I'm going to say, $1 a share.
Okay, good enough. Buy it then.
I wouldn't buy it. So $2.95 now, I wouldn't buy it. Stay away.
Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for calling. That was Meet Me. I haven't heard of that site, but they get some revenue. That is M-E-E-T is a symbol. Now, more and more retirement decisions have something to do with real estate, which is why my firm, KP Financial, has a licensed realtor on staff, which is myself, and I welcome your questions about real estate decisions in your life. 888-99-CHART is how to reach me right now with your questions, or you can contact me directly on investtalk.com. Click on Contact Justin.
How about some inside information? We have a whole library of helpful webinars, a series of info sheets on subjects ranging from insurance to the value of annuities. Become an InvestTalk insider. Join up for free right now on InvestTalk.com.
Now it's time for InvestTalk Personal, and these are the day-to-day money choices that you can make that can have a lasting impact. And the top five financial do's and don'ts, and the list is compiled by the folks over at GoBankRates.com. The first one is do set money goals. You know, it's tough to make a plan without knowing what you're saving for. So what are you getting towards? Is it buying a house, just saving for retirement, maybe saving up for a new car that you want to buy, a trip, vacation that you want to take? Maybe it's doing a favor for somebody. It's flying your family out to visit. Whatever it is, you need to set those goals first so you know what you're working towards and figure out, okay, how much money is that going to take? You know, that's one thing we do with our clients is, what goals do you need? How much money should you be looking to save to retire by the time you hit 65 or whatever age that is? That's something we do for our clients. Number two, don't put money ahead of needs. Don't put wants ahead of needs. You got to separate out what you need versus what you want and make sure you're prioritizing those needs. Now, obviously, you need to pay your utility bills. You need to pay gasoline if you need to get from point A to point B and you commute. You need to pay for your car, health insurance, you know, food, basic food needs, shelter, whether it's rent or mortgage, taxes. Those are needs and then wants. And retirement funds, a lot of people think, is a want. Well, guess what? It is a need. You need to be saving something. Two-thirds of Americans say that they are cutting back on retirement, or they don't save enough for retirement. So maybe you have to scale back on family vacation. But reaching your retirement goals is a need. It's something you want to do. You need to, because we all need to quit working at some point in our lives, or at least have the flexibility to do so. Okay? Number three, do be credit savvy. Having good credit can save you a lot of money and give you some flexibility when times are tough. And the best time to get your credit in order is when things are doing well, when you're making good money. So reduce your amount of debt, get it down to as little or as possible, hopefully eliminate it. You should eliminate your mortgage by the time you retire. Those are goals that you should have as well. So keep your credit score up and your credit or your debt levels down. Then number four, don't leave money on the table. Always contribute your full 401k match that you have at work, whether your 401k is good or not. Typically, employers match about 3% of your salary. Make sure you're not leaving money on the table there. That is pay that you are entitled to, but you could do a little work by just saving a little bit, okay? So don't pass it up. Then number five, do have a rainy day fund. Emergency funds are very important. You never know when you're going to have an unexpected expense like a car repair or a medical bill that crops up for whatever reason. Maybe you break your leg playing, you know, working out or playing a sport or something. You never know how what could happen. Okay, so that's Invest Talk Personal. Is there a topic that you want to know more about? Get in touch. We're here for you right now at 888-99-CHART. And who are we going to? Are we going to break? Brandon is on the line in San Francisco, but we're going to go to a break first. And we want to help you put your portfolio to the test. How much risk are you taking right now? Our free risk analysis is on investtalk.com. It is the first step in getting your portfolio lined up with your actual risk tolerance level. It takes only a few minutes to fill out. It's the beginning of a learning experience that will pay off in so many ways down the line. So take it now for free on investtalk.com. Just look for the free risk analysis. Let's go talk to Brandon in San Francisco. How you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm asking about Chimera Investment, CIM.
Okay.
And it took a hit today. I just wanted to see what you thought about the debt and the dividend.
Do you own it? Are you looking to buy it?
I own it. I've had it for some time.
Okay. I would look to get out. You know, this is this good example of, you know, talked about debt, and this is a company with, you know, a lot of debt. That's how they make money, though. You know, they this is kind of like a bank that a highly levered bank that invests in mortgage securities. The housing market, the housing indexes are rolling over, and you know, if we go into a recession, I think you're going to see more defaults in the housing sector, and that's going to put pressure on the assets that they own. And when it's leveraged, that's a big issue. So I don't think that dividend is safe long term. Its payout ratio right now is 272%. So they're certainly going to have to cut that dividend over the longer, medium to long term. Whether that happens next quarter, next month, next year, hard to know. But they will be cutting that eventually. They lost money last quarter, 24 cents a share. So that's certainly going in reverse, and revenues are down 85% year over year. So this is extremely high risk. I know you're loving that dividend, but I would just get out. I mean, you shouldn't be in these names. They're poorly run. They're returning capital to you. They're not really – that dividend is false. It's a false dividend because all they're doing to pay that dividend is borrowing more money. That's the only way they're affording that dividend. And really, that's just a sham. And so I don't think that over the long term that's not sustainable. It's never sustainable to borrow money to pay a dividend on a consistent basis long term, and that's what they're doing. And so I would look to be getting out. Now, could it bounce in the near term? Sure, it's nearest to support, but I would look to be exiting.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your analysis.
No problem, Brandon. Thanks for calling. That was Chimera. What's the full name? Chimera Investment Corp. This is a mortgage REIT. Annaly Mortgage is probably the most common one out there. They're just poor company. They don't operate. You know, they're high risk. I'll say that. They're very high risk companies, and in this environment, not where you want to be. Now let's talk quickly about Silicon Valley right now in San Francisco. And if you visit San Francisco, you'll see that, you know, there's high rises being built everywhere. If you just walk a few blocks in central San Francisco, you'll encounter major, major construction projects. Parking lots have been ripped up, and up sprouts condos and luxury rental flats. And the influx of tech money is really driving this. And this is kind of the modern analog of the gold rush of the 1850s or the tech boom of the late 90s. Enormous influx of income, and that's driving the building boom. And it's driving rents extremely high. Their flats, one-bedroom flats in San Francisco are fetching $4,000 a month. That's pushing people all the way east to the East Bay, $3,300 a month for a Bayview in Oakland. And these rents are just going up and up and up. And you know what? It's not sustainable. It really isn't. I really fear that there's going to be a big change, and we're on the cusp of that big change in the tech space with unicorns kind of falling out of bed. Look at what's happening with GoPro, and they had a big downgrade today, not doing well. And I think as the market rolls over, people are going to start focusing on cash flows and fundamentals. And many of these companies, most of these companies, either have very little cash flow, or the cash flow they do have does not justify the valuations that have been put on them. And that is going to cause down rounds and the popping of the tech bubble 2.0, and we are on the cusp of it. Now our time is up. I'm glad you could spend this hour with us. Do you have a question you want to ask? You know we have a 24-hour listener line just for you. 888-99-CHART is how to get your question to us anytime. We'll answer it on the next Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein, Senior Vice President at KFB Financial, and for Steve Peasley and everyone at KFB Financial, thank you for listening, and let's get back together on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.